Colm Buíochas, Micheál Ó Fiú an Corraí. Thank you very much, Micheál, for the opportunity to speak. And I am delighted that you made special mention, but certainly brought attention to a focus that I have taken getting into my department from the start. And it's not a focus or an approach that still enjoys the support that it should, in my opinion. So for me, the question is why? The name of the conference, The Voices of the Voiceless, pushed all sorts of buttons with me because, you know, going back to school, and I suppose if the nuns were here, they'd be pleased that I'm making reference to them, the nice nuns. But they were great because in their own way, they actually alerted me to the fact that women in society were invisible and really didn't come out and say they were feminists, because that would just be, you know, a complete no-no. But we, at the time when we were studying the Socrates, the Antigone play, and about the power relationships of the state and the relationship between law and justice, and particularly growing up as I did in North Belfast, where justice was something that was fairly invisible to many people of all backgrounds, but particularly Republicans in the area that I grew up in, and certainly for Republican women. And so Antigone for me was a woman who resisted the law of Creon and who made a decision to disobey the laws, and she took matters into her own hand, and she ended up ending her life rather than facing the laws of the society then. Now, for a nun to teach you about Antigone, not only about, you know, end your life, which is a big no-no in Catholic Church and most religions now, but also it was about the power of resistance. And that meant an awful lot to me. But what meant even more to me was the Crimes of Castlereagh, the poem of Bobby Sands, when he spoke about the men of art have lost their heart, they dreamed within their dreams, this magic sold for a piece of gold amidst a people's screams. So why, in the mouth of some of the biggest human rights abuses, in my opinion, did the whole notion of resistance not transcend the art? And why did art turn its back on the community and communities? And that's something that I have found that I have struggled with and still struggle with, because on one hand, art and culture have to be a reflection of what people feel and who they are. And I would support that even if I don't like it. I hate thrash music, but I support people's right to enjoy it. However, getting into the department, for me, and it still remains, one of the biggest challenges was that when we looked at how art was funded and resourced across the community, the whole idea and the notion of art and language and creativity and music and everything that we all love, still, there's still a glass ceiling, and there's a glass ceiling for working class areas. And when you speak about equality and inequality, for me, equality is about getting access, pure and simple. It's about getting access. And once you get access, you can then at least compete for your right and where your place and where you feel it is. And the other resistance for me, and it will be talked about, is the resistance around the revival of the Irish language, but also in the way in which our communities have been portrayed, and sometimes not portrayed properly, through different genres in art, different genres in culture. But certainly one of the things that we did, and I think it's going to stand us for generations to come, and you mentioned it, was Fáil an Phobail. Because for a long time, the way in which we celebrated resistance around internment was really turning within the community. And it was our right to do it. It was a culture of resistance. But the best way that we could include people was to do what we do through our songs, our music, bringing people into our city, talking about things that made us who we are, what we feel, what we want to do, talking about our vision. And Fáil an Phobail was born. And we all remember the days where we marched over to Spring Hill and got mucked up the eyeballs. And if you were from North Belfast, you couldn't get a taxi, and you weren't allowed in a taxi if you had a carry-out. So, and then after that, like many people of my age, I got for 1 year and ended up in jail. But the way in which music and culture And indeed, access to the arts happened. It happened, from, in my opinion, out of a sense, an experience of resistance. So when we talk about power relationships and we talk about equality, we also have to talk about the impact of the way in which arts are resourced and developed in this current climate. Now, I know it's particularly difficult for people who are trying to manage, as an example, I'm not picking an Ulster Orchestra, but I'm just using a orchestra, the Calderlands Orchestra, for the purposes of this. So the Calderlands Orchestra gets £2 million almost a year, and small groups talking about ethnicity, refugees, their whole identity and their whole culture is up in arms in 5 minutes. They leave their home in a spirit of sheer panic. They come to a completely different country, not all the time welcomed. Welcomed in the media, welcomed in the straplines, welcomed by politicians because they don't want to be seen to be criticising refugees. And then they come into communities, unless we've got a community that opens its arms, then their expression of their culture is really difficult to come to the top, and that's what we need to do. We need to go to the places where people are furthest removed and bring them in. And that's not a popular thing. It sounds popularist, but it's not a popular thing, particularly if it means the Calderlands Orchestra is going to have to do with less in order to give to the people who haven't got a thing. I will do that all day long. I make absolutely no apologies for that at all, because at the end of the day, if we can't help people in most need, then what we're doing is servicing a class structure and servicing services for people who really are doing a good job on one hand, but we need to do more. And for me, how do we revive arts and culture within this society and within this economy? We need to put it on an economic footing. I'm not getting into the whole discussion around market forces versus everything else, because we'll be here for a full week. However, if we don't make, what I'm trying to do is bring forward an overarching strategy that will include all departments, will include different sectors where people need to see their cultures and their values reflected in that, and we need to get it resourced. Until we do that, and even then we'll not get agreement, but until we make a best start of that, then we'll still be going back to the days of the men of art have lost their hearts. Because really what it's about is about making sure that regardless of what we feel about people's politics, regardless of what we feel about their positions on A, B, C or D, the rights of people and arts and culture is a right. It's not a luxury, it's a right. Those rights will remain something that people will always feel that they need to put resistance to, need revival for, need funding for, need organisation for, and that's fine. We'll always need to do it for some degree or other. But certainly for me, it's really important that we do go back and have the flexibility to look at how, what pushes our buttons, who we are and why we're here. And more importantly, what are we going to do? So I do thank Sister, Sister Josephine, Sister Angela and Sister Frances Xavier for introducing me to Antigone. They're well gone now. Hopefully they're in a place where they hope that they'd be. But the thing is, never taken for granted. Did I ever expect them to open my eyes to what feminism was, even though I grew up with the strongest feminists that I could ever possibly have? I grew up with women who resisted states, resisted state forces, resisted brutality, promoted human rights, promoted access, doing all this by running families and holding down 3 jobs. I got a great breeding. But in terms of what we do with all that and how we express that, I think that's a challenge for us all. Apologies, I have to go because I've about 3 hours paperwork to do before I go back to work in the morning. But just to say that this for me is an absolute pleasure, because more often than not, I'm usually having to come to conferences to explain why I'm putting money into BT11, BT12, BT14, BT15. So, Bragibia, Formagov.